Welcome to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Christine DiMatte, and I am filling in for Tom Hudson, who for the last several weeks has been hosting Decision Florida. In the last 2016 edition, which will be a special two-hour show that will be coming your way in less than an hour. On Election Day, Broward voters rejected a ballot measure that would have raised the sales tax from its current 6% to 7%. It was crafted to raise money for transportation projects. Now that the measure failed, where will Broward find the funds to improve public transit, create safer school zones, and build that light rail system it's planned for so long? Joining us via Skype is Sun Sentinel reporter Brittany Wallman. On the phone is Gregory Stewart, executive director of Broward's Metropolitan Planning Organization. And also joining us by phone is Robert Avosa, Palm Beach County Public School Superintendent. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Brittany.
Thank you.
Brittany, these were actually two ballot measures presented as one. They both had to pass or both would fail. The transportation measure had the support of voters, but the infrastructure measure did not get the votes it needed. Why was it done that way? Why not just have one ballot measure?
Well, the proposal initially was for just a transportation tax. And the cities, because of distrust between the cities and the county, the cities felt they might not get the funding that they needed from the county, so they came forward with the infrastructure half penny, and it was sort of a compromise between the two.
And Gregory Stewart, what would you say are the top three transportation improvements that need to be made in Broward County?
Well, first and foremost, the most important thing we must do right now is actually have a signalization program for all of our intersections in the county. We have over 900 traffic lights that are operated by Broward County to move traffic from east to west and north to south. And the timing of that is going to be very important. You know, there's been a lot of investment made in the signalization already. However, with the advent of additional freight coming out of Port of Miami and Port Everglades running north-south on the CSX and FEC tracks and the All Aboard Florida, we're going to really need to focus more heavily on how we can actually manage signalization. The second most important thing that we need to be doing right away is also dealing with the backlog of infrastructure projects on our roadways. And that's not just resurfacing roadways. It's actually dealing with the aging pipes that are underneath those roadways. I can't tell you how many times during the holidays last year, we had water pipes break, sewer pipes break, roads collapse.
And I remember that. Being a Broward, yeah. Full disclosure, being a Broward resident myself, yes, during the holidays. That was rough.
And it is amazing when, you know, it has its timing to happen. So we really need to be addressing that. And then thirdly, it is actually going to be our transit system. Our bus system is operating about 300 and so buses a day. It actually is a fairly robust system. Miami-Dade is operating around 900 buses a day. And then we have our rail system, the light rail system, coming out of downtown Fort Lauderdale. Those are things that are going to help mitigate some of the growth between 250,000 and 500,000 people we're expecting to come to Broward on top of what we already have. So we really need to be able to do these things fairly quickly.
Okay. And Greg, I'm going to come back to you in a couple of minutes about signalization, because I think that's important to cover. But how much, this is for Brittany and Greg both, how much would this tax have generated specifically for Broward transportation projects?
Brittany, I'm going to let you go first and then we'll go.
Okay. The total penny would have brought in $15 billion with a B over 30 years. And the county would have gotten more than $8 billion of that for transportation. The cities would have gotten the remainder for infrastructure. So it would have gone a long way towards this gigantic deficit that the county expects to have just to keep the current bus system, operating well and improving service there, and to operate this light rail system. Even with those billions, the county was expecting a $200 million deficit, believe it or not.
But Brittany, you talked to Broward voters. What was the number one reason that they gave you for not voting for this tax hike?
I think that this tax could have passed, but the materials, and Greg might disagree with me, but the campaign, it obviously failed. It failed to convince voters that this money was needed, that it was needed for 30 years. There was such a mishmash of things besides transportation in this penny. It was everything from tasers to public buildings, land, fire trucks, that there wasn't a single message that this money, you know, it really, people said it was a slush fund, that it would not be used for anything that would benefit their lives, that sort of thing.
And Rob, go ahead, Greg.
May I? Yeah, because I actually, and Brittany is raising a really valid point. You know, when you go forward with asking the public to spend their money, a cohesive plan is always something that you want to be able to show them. And you know, we tried very diligently in the limited time that we had from the Metropolitan Planning Organization to at least provide something out to the public that would be comprehensive. I mean, we looked. We personally, this organization, has a 25-year plan that we have to produce by the federal government. And it actually shows every transportation project we can afford, and then we also then show where we can't afford things. So we have about a $16 billion deficit. That's what we know that we need to provide on top of the $8 billion we are going to spend. So if you look at what Brittany's saying, it's like, well, yeah, the public, I think, understood the transportation piece. You know, we've been... And thanks to Brittany, we've been able to communicate to the public what the transportation components are. Where the communication needed to be more improved is all the other infrastructure pieces, because with 31 cities and the county and the school board all in the pit together here, it was very difficult for the public to understand what they were looking at.
Right. Robert Avosa, you're in charge of schools for Palm Beach County, where voters there did approve on Election Day a similar referendum. So in Palm Beach County, how much money is that tax hike expected to generate?
For the full penny over 10 years, we're looking at between $2.5 and $2.7 billion, of which approximately $1.35 billion would be generated for the public schools.
Okay, and what's on the top of your to-do list for Palm Beach County public schools?
Well, certainly no disrespect to our friends to the south, but the thing that we insisted from the beginning was that we were going to have a laser-like focus on detail,
right,
so that the community had a level of trust and that we were as transparent as we could be. So we did an analysis of all 187 schools and put out there school by school exactly what would happen over that 10-year period. And I think our message was much tighter. It was about roads, bridges, safety, and, of course, schools being what we believe to be the top priority. And I think about 56.5% of the voters said that they would support it.
And the county will get a third, if I'm not mistaken, and the remaining 20% will be split among the 39 municipalities in Palm Beach County. Am I correct?
That's correct. And again, it took us probably about 18 months to sort through what that looked like. We had a lot of public debate and discussion about that. But the tighter we got with the message, the more concrete we were with lists, and that we would have third-party oversight, et cetera, we tended to see the polls going up. And so I think that's what we got right. Now, on the other hand, 40% plus said no.
Right.
Which to me is a call to action as civic leaders, organizational leaders, superintendents, county managers. We've got to do a much better job making sure people see that the promises we made will be delivered on time and within budget.
And once again, where do you plan to spend it first? Oh, let me back up. When do you expect the money to start rolling in? Would that be at the beginning of 2017, in spring? When?
So January, the penny will start taking shape, and we probably will get our first payment after the first quarter. One of the things we thought right away was we better have a series of projects that we can quickly get on the road so that our community sees that penny is already hard at work. And that's another big priority for Ms. Baker, the county manager, all the city managers, and of course the superintendent. We already have a long list, including 100 brand new buses that we need to order as soon as we can, and that'll take up about $10 million, just that purchase alone.
And I don't know if you're aware of this, Robert, but our Palm Beach County reporter, Peter Hayden, just recently did a report on, this is interesting, this term, the cannibalization of Palm Beach County school buses. And it sounds grisly, but basically what it is plucking the older ones apart, looking for the good parts in those old ones and just transferring them to other buses. How long has that been going
on? We've had to get very creative, not just with transportation, but our aging facilities. Back in 2007, what we thought would be a temporary reduction in local sales tax wound up being quite permanent, and we lost $860 million over that time frame. So our maintenance workers, facility guys, listen, We're so proud of them. But we've gotten to a point where duct taping and super gluing these things together just doesn't work anymore. So I thank the community for stepping up and supporting us. We're going to make sure we deliver on those promises. And the kids and the teachers and the community really appreciate that support here in Palm Beach County.
Robert Avosa, thank you. And we've just got one more minute. So, Greg and Brittany, back to you for a second. Now that it's back to the drawing board for transportation funds, where is Broward County going to find the money to solve these traffic woes? I mean, this is a very, very densely populated county. What now?
There's already talk of bringing a transportation tax back to voters without the infrastructure part. And I think that you'll see a tug of war between the county and the cities once again about what to put back on the ballot. But I think they definitely will go back for a sales tax, especially since the transportation portion did pass.
Yeah, and I want to add to what Brittany said on that, because it's important to note that, yeah, we're going to have to go back to the voters. We're going to be facing that cannibalization, and I appreciate the words from Palm Beach, because even on the city buses, county buses, we're going to have those issues. The bigger picture with going back is I think one of the things that happened late in this is that the cities, the county, the MPO, all of our transportation partners and other partners all finally got on the same page. So I'm more optimistic that, if we do all go back, we will go back together, and it would actually be a better move forward. There was a lot of splintering, unfortunately, at the beginning when this was proposed, mm-hmm. and, very robust conversation. I think, Brittany, that would be fair to call it that. And I think now what I think the best thing that happened out of this, even though it was a loss in the end, is that all the partners learned how to communicate with each other. And I'm telling you, I'm guardedly optimistic that when we go back out, we'll all be at the table together and we'll all be moving forward in a way that at least the public will be able to see that. We do have plans. Everybody does have plans, luckily. Mm-hmm. And, better communication. I think we'll learn a lot from our friends in Palm Beach. They went to 7% now. Miami-Dade's already at 7%. Broward's sitting at a 6%. So for those who plan on going shopping anytime during the holidays, please come down and visit.
Okay.
That said, I think, we're looking forward to the future. I'm guardedly optimistic, as I said, that we're going to be able to work together to make something happen here in Broward.
Gregory Stewart, Executive Director of Broward's Metropolitan Planning Organization. We've also been speaking with Sun Sentinel reporter Brittany Wallman and Robert Avosa. He's Palm Beach County Public Schools Superintendent. Thanks to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We need to take a quick break. Still to come, questions about what a Trump presidency might mean for American relations with Haiti and Cuba. We'll be right back.